Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, and life. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, stylish school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review, evidence-based medicine magazine, and UK Health Radio, chiropractic medicine and physical medicine, vegan fitness, got a great doubleheader. Dr. Kevin Wall, he's the CEO of Physical Medicine and Chiropractic Centers, and he's the host of the Unplugged Healthcast. Will be joining me along with Karina Inkster. She's a vegan fitness and nutrition coach, TEDx speaker, also a podcast host, and the Sports Doctor's in with some emails, upcoming Bob Wisdom. Dr. Kevin Wall, great to come back and share radio shows with you. Welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hey, Doc. Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Great. Give us some background, Dr. Kevin, on yourself and your combination. I think it's a great title. Chiropractic always has been the leader of physical medicine.
Well, I don't know how far you want me to go back, Doc. I've been at it, for quite a few years, but I'll take you back.
Yeah, not
a
as long stories, as me, which, but go ahead. Do it quickly.
All right. Well, I'm an Iowa farm boy by definition. Grew up, a great place to grow up. Went to University of Iowa, worked in the anatomy department doing research on medications, but kind of lost interest in that pathway. I just thought life made more sense on a less pharmaceutical pathway. So I went to chiropractic college back in 86, graduated 89, moved to Arizona, started working. Over the last 37 years, I've opened over 25 different health clinics. We started integrating medical doctors, PAs, nurse practitioners in with chiropractic about 18 years ago. And then even in the last few years, we started integrating psychology, counseling, because there's a mental component often physical health.
You gotta include integrating podiatry, man, in your world.
I hear you. You let me know when you're coming to Phoenix.
If I had one chiropractor on my show, I had 100. As a matter of fact, in the late 70s, Dr. Kevin, when I first met the late, great sports therapist, Bob Guida, the ex-Miss America, Mr. Universe, the Sports Fitness Center Clinic was owned by Dr. Miles Pahanek, who was a chiropractic physician. They were all bodybuilders, but Guida was the guy that eventually the Walter Paytons and the John McEnroes and all these great athletes, the Bears, he was so way ahead of his time, but it always included, along with all the physical medicine, but Bob had a tremendous regard for the role of the foot, but it was hands-on chiropractic, which I always felt really led the field, not only when it came to physicality, putting your hands on somebody, but the world of nutrition.
Yeah, I always said the foundation is the origin. If your feet are bad, your spine's probably following.
Oh, it ain't helping you in many instances. And again, whether we're talking about high performance in youth sports, which I know has been part of both of our interests for years, or we're talking about seniors and all of these types of challenges, even the fact of being in the right shoe for your foot mechanics makes big sense. And then half the world has leg shortages, right, Dr. Kevin?
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it, to think that people are made one leg longer than the other. But it is pretty common. And sometimes that's a structural imbalance, and sometimes it's an anatomical genetic thing. But either way, if you're walking on a roof your whole life or on a tilted roof your whole life, you're going to be sore. Just picture that, and that's the effects of of leg length imbalances as well as just arch drops. And you know that, we know that, we've been watching that, and we've been treating it for a long time.
Yes, and a lot of times we wonder whether or not those kinds of imbalances in certain individuals, depending on how flexible they are. Again, the guy on the left is very flat-footed and he's bow-legged, and the guy on the right has high arches and he's got knocked knees, for example. As to whether or not, though, that body that's adapted to those kinds of challenges belongs to a champion, because he's been working on some of those instabilities for such a long period of time. Tell us about the physical medicine and Kairos centers, again, and then how general medicine responded to these combinations in your experience.
Well, it's a pretty logical thing. In fact, people, when they hear about it, they just love the concept, because often they go to their primary care doctor. He sees back pain. He sees joint issues. He sees neck problems. And, you know, he doesn't really like dealing with those things. He doesn't really have solutions more than pharmaceutical. But often, you know, the combination where you have the both in the same building is just, it just makes sense, right? So the medical paradigm combined with the more natural paradigm is really, I think, where the future is going. And
well,
I think
don't
we're
have
almost
a,
there.
You don't have a, there's not a serious sports team in any sport at any level that doesn't include big-time chiropractic medicine. The same with podiatric medicine. With all of these different, when we started turning around at half these players with the turf toe phenomenon and all of these other kinds of concerns, and it was interesting, you know, how medicine, I used to, years ago, my friends felt, you know, both chiropractic and podiatry sort of had to fight their way in to the MD world.
Yeah, well, you remember lawsuit back in 1987, where we podiatry, chiropractic, even optometry had to sue the AMA for monopolizing the health profession, and they became victorious, and that changed the whole field. And the AMA actually had in their guidelines that if you fraternized with a chiropractor or a podiatrist or referred back in the 80s, you could get kicked out of the AMA. But, you know, that lawsuit changed the whole landscape, and thank goodness for the betterment of the patients.
Well, yeah, good luck to us. But over the years, we felt there was a contest, and there were the doctors on the left, the insurance companies in the middle, and the lawyers on the right. And the contest was won, unfortunately, by the insurance companies in so many different ways. And, we're challenged, you know, with many times. With the whole healthcare system. Talk to us a little bit about your Unplugged Healthcast. I had the privilege of being your guest and being on your show. You're a great host that we did, I think, sometime last month or so. Tell us about the Healthcast and how you've mixed in healthcare and culture development in your shows.
Well, you were a great guest, Doc. It was great having you. We talked about orthotics and the balance of that in life and how I believe I'm such a big believer in it myself. But, yeah, over the 36 years of treating patients, there's just a lot of knowledge that just you accumulate from watching people who are dealing and struggling with health and biomechanical abnormalities.
Well, the mental game, Dr. Kevin. I have people, the mental game from around the world over the years, whether it was concussions or it was the anxiety or it was mental training, all these areas, you know, overcoming injury, all of these things, regardless, the mental game was such a big deal in so many ways. And this is a part of what the culture side, the development side in healthcare is such a big part in that combination, wouldn't you say?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I'm so sure of that. Like you say, I started investing in building mental health care clinics. And in our mental health care clinics, we have red light therapy. We have cold plunge tanks. We have hyperbaric chambers. Yes. And when you can start changing the mental and the physical together, that's a massive step.
It's a huge area. You know, it's a huge area. The functional medicine, lifestyle medicine. I've had on guests when we started talking about biohacking, nobody knew what the word meant. you know. And yeah. it was lifestyle medicine. What's the best place people can go to find out about you, the healthcast, the podcast, and everything you do?
Well, we're on all major channels, YouTube, Spotify, of course, Apple Podcast, and you can just go to my website, drkevinwall.com. You can find all the episodes. We got a lot of great information, a lot of great guests, just history, but it's going to unplug you from the matrix of what has confused so many people over the last 30 years and made our whole world chronically ill. We have got one out of every three people with a metabolic disorder and two out of every three with a chronic illness. And we don't need a lot of more medication. We need more logic.
And you have four out of three with obesity. I featured childhood obesity for 35 years, give or take a few weeks.
Horrible.
And we're still, we're treading water at best. This is why
the podcast just gives you answers. There's 50 podcast episodes. You can just look and find answers for a lot of different health problems, but they're going to be logical, simple things you can do at home. So check us out online and tell me what you think.
How long have you been involved in the podcast world, Kevin?
You know, I just started doing it the last year and a half. And, you know, again, it was just a way to get information out to help more people. It's just the reason I still do this, the reason I'm still, you know, building clinics, helping patients is just because I'm sick of the confusion. RFK, you know, that guy's out there trying to change people through his platform. And I'll
I'm watching him do his pull-up. I'm glad to see the attention to eating smarter. Again, my new medicine is number one, eat smarter. We could talk all day about it. Number two, keep moving. Lots of choices. Keep moving. Number three is pay attention to what we're talking about, the mental game, the stress side of things. So the idea of trying to clean up so much of our lifestyle medicine, that I think is great to see attention being really brought to my colleagues have been talking about anti-aging for 30 years before medicine knew how to spell it, right? Are you still seeing
we're up against a lot of noise, though. We're up against a lot of noise. Pharmaceutically, they are just pounding the radios, the TVs, social media with ads for drugs. But, you know, people are sick of it, and I think even though it's been 30 years, I see the tide turning.
I agree. And what's interesting, Dr. Kevin, is the United States and New Zealand are the only two countries in the world that allow prescription drug advertisement on television. And if it ain't a prescription drug, it's a diet pill. So we've been fighting this big time scenario. I have featured holistic medicine, Eastern and Western medicine, for decades on The Sports Doctor. Then it was called alternative medicine. Us against them. Then somebody said, hey, what about complementary? And it's great to see that because that's made a big difference. And, of course, you've contributed an awful lot to that attitude.
Well, it is a bit of I always say when I hire people, I go, you're not signing up for a job. You're signing up for a ministry. This is a mission. We are the crazy chiropractors out here saying that maybe there's another way. Maybe big pharma's not wearing any clothes.
I never heard choir practors.
That's what they've been saying for years. Yeah.
Really?
We're the choir practors.
Spirituality is a big deal. Spirituality today is a big deal. Organized religion, it's always a contest. But spirituality at the highest levels of sports medicine, as the fact that, you know, these mental skills really can be trained and people need to be paying big attention, my goal is that we're dealing with this nightmare of juvenile type 2, adolescent diabetes, which didn't even exist decades ago.
No.
It was called adult onset diabetes. Again, the challenge of getting these kids active instead of looking at a screen, because most are not. So all this new medicine, it's great. I'm glad to hear you say that you think we're turning the tide, because I always say good luck to us.
Right. Yeah, it has been a thought that this has been on a downhill slide. But I'm optimistic. I want everyone else to be optimistic. But it's going to take action. People got to decide to go on their way. And I'm sorry to say, but just listening to your doctor doesn't make any sense anymore. It does when you're in chronic, severe emergency disease. But if you want to get healthy, you don't get it by your insurance company and your primary care doctor's not delivering it. You're going to have to go get it. And it's probably at the gyms, the nutritional stores, the podiatrists, the chiropractors, the naturopaths, the people that are out there preaching what we've been talking about for years. People are starting to listen, and it's exciting to finally see.
And it's interesting that the physical medicine side, you know, we both worked with physical therapy for decades. It came to people and their problems. And, you know, physical therapy was always a great marriage with chiropractic medicine. Again, they were part of our philosophy in the late 70s. Where the Olympics was arguing about including chiropractic medicine and Sports Fitness Institute, we changed it. We changed that whole scenario. Dr. Miles Pahanic, way back when, arguing with them in so many ways. I knew the time would fly with Dr. Kevin Wall. Give us the information again so people can get a hold of you and your podcast, Kevin.
Well, if you're in the Phoenix area, we're AFC Physical Medicine Centers. We got clinics all over the valley down here. But if you just want to find out more about me, it's drkevinwall.com. Or you can just look up the Unplugged Healthcast on Apple or YouTube or Spotify. You'll find us. Listen in. Let me know. Thanks for having me today, Doc.
All right. Great, Kevin. Hold on. We'll be right back. Kevin's part of our faculty. We'll have him back. Hold on. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Again, I want to welcome Karina Inkster. She's a vegan fitness and nutrition coach, TEDx speaker, and she's also a podcast host. Karina, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks so much for having me here. Looking forward to it.
Great. Karina, give us some background on yourself and the vegan fitness world.
Well, that's a good question. So the background on myself is that I became a fitness coach back in 2011. at the same time as I completed my master's degree in gerontology. So that's focusing on health and aging. So I was doing this degree, possibly considering going into academia, doing a PhD, very research focused. But I realized I missed working with people face to face. So in the same month as defending my thesis, I did my practical exam for becoming a fitness coach, which I would not recommend, by the way. It was pretty intense. But I did a 180 almost and started working with clients face-to-face. And the vegan piece didn't really become part of my business until maybe 8 or 9 years ago. I've been vegan for 23 years. But when I took my business online, because I moved to a different city and it's just more scalable as a business, so when I stopped working with people in person and moved online, that's when I chose my niche of plant-based fitness.
It's always been one of the great choices we wanted you to join us because, again, when I talk ad nauseum about what I call the new medicine, which is number one, eat smarter, and we could talk all day about what smarter means. Number two, keep moving. In the physical world that you got involved with even the years ago, how important that was to the new medicine to keep moving. A lot of choices. You want to go to the gym, you want to be a runner, you want to do Pilates. And number three, very importantly, is reduce stress. Pay attention to rest and recovery. And so again, those first 2 points, which is, again, eating smarter, I don't think there's anybody left who wouldn't argue that at least including, if not by itself, the world of plant-based medicine is such an important part. Boy, the nutritional challenge, you can't watch television for more than 5 minutes without, because it's an obesity. So I've been talking about childhood obesity, Karina, for like 35 years, give or take a few weeks. So this weight loss challenge, diet's such a big part of it.
Absolutely. I do want to make one thing clear, though, and that is my main motivation for being vegan has nothing to do with health, even though I'm a fitness coach and work with people on their nutrition. It started from an ethical standpoint, the fact that we don't actually need animal products, and they are unnecessary to being healthy.
That's another 10 radio shows. Yes, that's really.
Absolutely.
That other side, that other side is respected. Also today, even though I think it's got an awful, awful long way to go, even, you know, thinking in those kinds of directions, but I think it's respectable to have that regarding the that being the reason that you became saying, you know, I'm not going to either, number one, I'm not going to eat anything that has eyes, and number two, I'm not going to eat any animal, period.
Exactly.
And the fact that it became so popular in so many ways, as people started saying, again, that eat smarter part, you've got to increase the vegetables and the fruits, et cetera, all that education. When you became a coach, you know, the nutritional side was still such a challenge.
Absolutely.
So tell us more about your side of things, again, as you went on to become, including, let's say, the both sides of that and regarding the nutrition side, besides the physical fitness side. You know, coaching has become such a gigantic business, whether it's life coaching, mental coaching, business coaching, health and wellness coaching. So the new medicine, again, the idea of the health and wellness, what were the topics of your TEDx talk, Karina?
Oh, that's a great question. So the TEDx talk was all about why I went vegan, and it was my story of connecting my pet hamster when I was 11 years old with the roast chicken dinner we were about to eat and realizing that I cared about some animals.
How did mom and dad handle that challenge?
Well, surprisingly well at the time. We're talking 27 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
I was
okay.
11. My dad was actually already decreasing red meat at the time for health reasons, not anywhere near vegetarian or vegan or anything like that. But they're both teachers, they're both academics. And so their first thought was, you need to do some research and you need to learn about nutrition, making sure that you can get all the nutrition, all the nutrients you need, enough protein, all of that. So it started from from education.
It's a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. One of the contributors to my book, Kate Davis, was been a sports nutritionist for, gosh, the last decade or so. In the whole world of sports nutrition, there's not a team alive at any level that's not saying, wow, we got to pay big attention to this compared to years ago. And they said, hey, you know, where's the pregame meal? Let me have a couple hot dogs, you know, whatever that scenario was, compared to what she would call fueling, where, you know, the whole sports nutrition, the word fueling made a lot of sense to people as they were trying to figure out, you know, Jesus, the old pyramids are crazy, and all of these kinds of challenges regarding when it came to the new attention, Karina, to, you know, the functional medicine and paying attention to the whole person compared to, again, the kind of healthcare that's been nailed down our throat for decades.
That's exactly it. And I think talking about nutrition as medicine is where the conversation is going now. I was just speaking just an hour ago with Dr. Michael Clapper, who's a big name in the vegan world, and reversing heart disease, reversing type 2 diabetes with plant-based diets is what people are doing now.
Well, I'm on the exercise side. I'm part of an organization called that on the one hand is called LEAP, Preventing Amputations That Are Diabetes Related. And the front end, which is the explosion of juvenile type 2 diabetes, adolescents already, with the obesity-related, lifestyle-related, nutrition-related scenario, which is a nightmare. They had to rename it medically in that regard. How would you define vegan?
Vegan is someone who does not consume any animal products. So not meat and not dairy and not eggs. We eat things that are plant-based, and we also try to do our best in day-to-day life to make sure that we're not wearing animal products like leather or wool to the best of our abilities, of course, and making sure that our household products and personal care products are not tested on animals. So it goes beyond what we eat, but the main
That's an interesting point. It's such a powerful point. I didn't know that. I didn't know that your thinking and your own personal history related to exactly what you're talking about was part of their overall philosophy even. And because, boy, that word is not really out there regarding if we're talking lifestyle medicine and we're talking not wearing fur coats, and we're not talking about not zealous side of things, but the spirituality side of things, which is a very big deal in sports medicine today and health and wellness. Not organized religion, spirituality. You know, that's how what an important part of this whole mental game, you know, might be, and the challenges that are brought when you're coming to the other side of things regarding their. So give me some typical breakfast, lunch, dinner vegan, quickly.
Well, anything you eat non-vegan, I can eat vegan. Although there might be some foods that are new to folks who are not yet plant-based in their diets. But I've had oatmeal for breakfast for probably the last 25 years just because I feel like it fuels my workouts really well. So it's kind of boring. It works. But I get all of my variety and my interesting foods in lunches and dinner usually. So I'm a big fan of batch cooking. So we have a big pot of something like fajita filling or chili or a curry of some kind with chickpeas. And then we, my husband and I, will eat basically the same thing for 4 nights. So we're covered. We don't have to do a lot of cooking. Lots of burrito bowls, Buddha bowls,
things that we can freeze. Creative is somebody, it's sure not a boring scenario. And it could be quite creative, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. I'm honestly eating a greater variety of food now than I did before I was vegan. I didn't know what seitan or wakame or nutritional yeast or tempeh were before I went vegan.
You know, the idea of the family side, the cooking together, I remember we had on the Samson, the longtime founder of Chop Chop magazine, which was a whole idea that was in every pediatrician's office, trying to get these kids and families to learn what, again, eating smarter might mean, even before we started getting clobbered over the head with the obesity side of things, as well as the diabetes side of things. in so many different ways, and that it was such an important factor, whether it was, again, cooking together, learning these kinds of scenarios where you would be able to be, you'd have a pot that you pick. So these different stews, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think variety is an important piece of health generally, just making sure that we're getting a whole abundance of nutrients, but it also keeps things interesting from a day-to-day logistical perspective.
What are some of the topics that tell us a little bit about your podcast?
The podcast is called the No BS Vegan, and I started it 8 years ago because I feel like there's a lot of pseudoscience, not just in the vegan world, but also in fitness and nutrition. There's diet culture. There's a lot of people just trying to sell supplements with no scientific backing. There are a lot of myths about veganism. People asking things like, oh, where do you get your protein? And are you sure you can build muscle on a plant-based diet? And there's a lot of misconceptions about plant-based eating.
Yes, you know, there's a new subgroup.
I started it for that reason.
Yeah, it's had a new subgroup that I've had them on the radio numerous times, only the last year or two, called sports pharmacy. And mm-hmm. sports pharmacy paying big attention to the health and wellness dash sports side of everything from supplements to vitamins to all of these kinds of challenges, hormones in so many different ways. That, again, the attention starting to be paid towards, again, that kind of, you know, we would talk to some of these young teams, and again, the more talented these kids are, again, the terrible twos, just over, you know, that's why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, because there is an epidemic, everybody, capital letters, epidemic of youth sports overuse, too much, too soon, too aggressive. And again, even on the physical side of what are the positive things you could do about it, one of the big areas, again, is the area of nutrition. And, you know, getting these kinds of topics, getting that word out, again, the other side of what you're talking about, and the what are some of the different topics that you might be talking about on your podcast?
It's very fitness focused, and what I do with my clients is strength training for the most part. So a lot of topics about muscle building, bone density, longevity, doing things that are not quick fixes. So we're not looking at doing something really intense for 30 days and then that's it. We're looking at lifestyle, building habits.
Yes.
And
well,
the same
can be
said for nutrition.
Pearl before we come back. Yeah, here's my pearl from the sports doctor for you and your guys. Include two things, everybody. Number one, I don't care what your sport is, what your age is. Strengthen your feet and ankles. Learn how to do that. Number two, work balance. Include those two exercises, whatever your sport or activity is, and we're going to bounce that back off Karina when we come back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com, MVPParent.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
Okay, we are back as the Sports Doctor. We're talking with Karina Inkster. She is a nutrition, longtime nutrition coach. She's a podcast host, TEDx speaker. And you were giving me the no BS vegan account. Let me remember that we were talking about the podcast. Give us the title and what that's all about again, Karina.
Yes, the No BS Vegan podcast. It's also on the radio in my area of the world, but, you know, all the major podcast apps. And it busts myths about veganism and fitness and nutrition and helps people to strength train and get results while they're on a plant-based diet.
Yes. Well, again, the idea that there is this tremendous emphasis, like, again, I'm labeling it again, the new medicine, which is to combine these factors and to take advantage of the tremendous attention to longevity medicine, functional medicine. I had a from the Netherlands 2 months ago, a Taoist specialist talking about 2,500-year-old lifestyle choices like simplicity and compassion. He was talking about mental challenges today with a topic that you're talking about, but he was talking about something from thousands of years ago as we've started to try to understand some of these ancient wisdoms. They make so much sense. And the idea, you know, you're talking about these myths. This is an interesting point, which is mixing together the physical fitness. How has the medical community or the school community been tuning into some of your talks with these important topics?
That's a great question. I think the medical community needs more nutrition training overall, whether it's plant-based or not. I just had with a podcast episode that's not out yet, but it will be soon. His nonprofit organization works with medical schools, getting more nutrition training into medical schools. He's plant-based himself, but he's just talking about general nutrition training for people who will become doctors. And so I think there's a lot of initiatives like this, whether they're plant-based or not, looking at nutrition education in places like medical schools and the education system at large.
Yes, well, the same exact thing, I would be right next to you talking about the importance of the physical side, the exercise side of this whole juvenile type 2 diabetes splurge that we're in the middle of, where we have all of these kids one after another. The fact that we're not saying be an athlete, we're saying include physical activity as a necessity, part of what you're doing, pay attention to the nutrition side, and we'll break the back of this obesity-related nightmare as well as the diabetes with the kids. Nutrition is such a big part. I don't think you find any vegan followers. And again, the vegan, they stress a lot the physical side also, right? Regarding that life, that definition?
It's not inherent in the definition. A lot of vegans are active because they care about their health, but health and veganism are actually separate. So veganism is the ethical piece around not using animal products and not commodifying animals or sentient beings.
Yes.
But it just so happens that a lot of
us vegans do care about health.
I think the
ethical side is a big deal that you're bringing up that we talked about even on the first segment, including the ethical side involving the vegan, which is a side that I have never heard. I've heard the word vegan for 100 years, give or take a few weeks. And I think that's one of the real, real challenges is that that's included. We're almost where it's exclusive from the health and wellness side necessarily in that way. And the fact that, again, but we always say on the Sports Doctor, Karina, we got three big points we need to make. Number one's awareness about what the heck we're talking about and who we're talking about it with. Number two is education, that again, we're getting bouncing off you so much in that regard. Number three is some positive action, where again, we can get these, the younger the better, the schools, the park districts, to be paying attention to the health and wellness side, as well as the ethical side. To be included in that definition. Maybe you'll make that happen when you send them a copy of our show.
That would be great.
Well, again, there's no doubt about it. It's such a big challenge. Whether we're using, again, the diabetes particular question, or we're using the obesity side. You know that the I've had experts on bullying for years, and the number one reason for bullying is overweight. And number two is disability. And number three is sexual orientation. An amazing stat when we're talking about some of these, let alone the pressures we all know adolescents are going through today with all these different factors regarding social media. What a challenge that is in everything you do, right?
Absolutely. Social media is a fantastic way to connect with fellow health and fitness coaches and fellow vegans, but it's also kind of a quagmire. So it depends what corners of social media you're hanging out in. It could be positive or negative.
Yes. Well, the fact that the famous Tony Robbins, who when the pandemic hit and he was talking, you know, he used to have 25,000 sold out stadiums. You know, nobody could go anywhere. Somebody said, hey, virtual. All of a sudden, again, you know, even the telemedicine, there were definitely some sides to one of the contributors to my book, the great adult and child psychiatrist, Dr. Denise McDermott, 10 years ago said, look out with kids and the whole social media, as well as adults in so many different ways, even though there was a lot of great sides to it. But boy, that we're going to be very, very challenged. Who knew that there'd be so much neck pain from me, people looking at their screens, you know? My first chiropractic guest.
That's right. Well, I've met some amazing podcast guests and I've made some great connections with folks on social media. And I run an online business, so I have to be present in some form on social media. But I think we have to use it intentionally and we have to create our own communities. We have to create the type of content that we want to see.
Yes, our friends at That One. With that whole group of podcasters and brand builders that are involved in that particular world with some of the top podcasts. It's amazing. You know, I've been doing live radio. I'm pushing for 45 years, give or take a few weeks. We're on live as we speak. And the fact it's like a dinosaur. But, you know, the word podcast, nobody knew what the heck it meant years and years ago. Now it's like it's one of the biggest a social side of things. It's the Wild West of podcaster. Don't you think so, Karina?
Well, it is. And it also is great, though, because the barrier to entry is pretty low.
I think you can't come up with a topic. As a matter of fact, now it's as big a media. Who would have thought that YouTube would be as big as it is? I like your term where you say intentionally talking about things. Trying to add to the educational side of things, because again, you're in the middle of all three of the new medicine, whether we're talking about eating smarter, whether we're talking about keeping moving, or we're talking about rest and recovery, reducing stress. And that's before anybody says the word politics, right? Really?
Exactly.
Let alone sports parenting. Regard. So again, I want to thank you so much for joining us. It's important. You're part of our roster to be. Karina, give us quickly where people can find out about you and your work.
Absolutely. Everything is at karinainkster.com, Karinainkster.com. And we have a ton of free resources for folks on plant-based strength training, on protein. There's a protein calculator there. Lots of free resources and the podcast as well.
Yeah, she's got a great site. Again, Karina, hold on. Everybody, we'll be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505. Or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. sportsdoc.com.
Hey, everybody, we're back. It's the Sports Doctors In segment where we feature some upcoming guests, topics over the next few weeks. We add a little bit of Dr. Bob wisdom, answer a few emails. Next week, exciting combination of ladies. Deb Drummond, who is a superstar in so many different areas of women's fitness, health and wellness, podcasting, biohacking, and an acquaintance of hers. I just was mentioning Christine Blanchet, who is the longtime guest on Sports Doctor. Just yesterday, we were filming my Sports Doctors In segment on her Run With It TV show. She just celebrated, I think, her 10th anniversary. Once a month, we show up with a topic for the Run With It community. So we're excited that both her and Deb will be joining us next week. The following week, we're going to have the co-creator of That One, the podcasting brand labeling superstars that we've been excited to have so many of their guests. Mike Sirocco, C-Rock, will be joining us. And then the Bear, Awaken Souls Spirituality magazine. He and his wife, and again, the Bear, he calls the group, and the magazine. And you know how much on the Sports Doctor we include the world of spirituality. Again, a couple of months ago, Gerard Waters, Tao Te Ching, 2,500-year-old spirituality, lifestyle wisdom. So we're going to be excited to have the Bear on, that couple. The topic I mentioned with my guests today for Dr. Bob Wisdom, I just want to again stress the ease, the simplicity of the new medicine. The new medicine, number one, eat smarter. Again, we talked with a vegan fitness coach, Farina, just today. We talk with so many nutritionists. We talk so much about that topic on the Sports Doctor. And again, it's amazing how it's still so topical, it's so important. Obesity is a nightmare, both adult, and it was featured dramatically as one of the real components of trouble with the pandemic, and the virus, and childhood obesity that I've talked about for 30-something years, and the connection to my action that I'm taking now, helping in the world of juvenile type 2 diabetes, getting groups together. My friend, I'm a consultant with LEAP, Lower Extremity Amputation Prevention, Dr. Larry Rubin, Rich Dubin, the publisher of LER magazine, talking about all aspects, getting all on board to try to do something about adding the exercise and smart nutrition for the scourge and epidemic of juvenile type 2 diabetes. And we continue to include guests with all areas from, again, the wound care area, Dr. David Armstrong, the various podiatry areas, Dr. Lowell Wild Jr. and his group, Northern Illinois Foot Specialists, other groups, the American Podiatric Medical Association, that pay such attention. Again, Lower Extremity Magazine takes so much attention to the whole aspect of diabetes.
and the realization that we've got to get a mindset lifestyle change in the adolescent community by educating parents, pediatricians, park districts, organizations, that we've got to have exercise as a lifestyle part of kids growing up, whether they're on a team or not. We have to pay attention to that to make a difference in this scourge. So we'll be paying a lot of attention to that with some of our guests, some of our topics. I want to include, if I have, still have time, a couple of emails. Tom says, he talks so much about instability training. Give us some details. Great question, Tom. You know, we're back in the late 70s when I first met Bob Guider, the late, great sports trainer. He always paid huge attention to balance as well as the role of the foot. Imagine athletes standing on five different mini trams barefoot, and they'll move around different parts of the mini tram while they're maybe catching a baseball with their glove on, or swinging a tennis racket, or swinging a hockey stick, or playing catch with a volleyball. He'd have a rollable balance beam he became famous for with athletes with walk-on, with and without hand weights, working on balance. He'd say, again, strengthening the stabilizers. Everybody who's listening to this, stand on one foot, close your eyes. As you create imbalance, if we had sensors on your whole body, they'd all light up. So whether you're looking to come down softer, running and jumping, change direction more efficiently, whatever your sport, accelerate faster, working balance is key, and creating instability will demand it. And there's all sorts of different exercises. We recommend the rubber bands, because we want to really concentrate on strengthening the feet and ankles with anything stability-wise. So instability was create instability and demand balance and stability training. Was a big deal. Steve writes in, could you mention Jim Vickery, some of his points? The late, great Jim Vickery, sports psychologist. And he had a couple of bullet points for all you sports parents listening in, including sports grandparents. Number one, don't be a critic. Do not be an analyzer of your son or daughter's sport on the way home in the car. Don't be a critic. Be positive. Number two, be a good listener. Are they having fun? See you next week, everybody. The Sports Doctor. Thanks, BBS Radio.